Hey, this is Matt Hawkins, and you're listening to the Top Cow Chronology Project.
Welcome to the Comic Source Presents the Top Cow Chronology Project. I'm your co-host, Jace. Just reminding you, if you want to take a look at the chronology, you can go to our website. That's thecomicsourceblog.com. You can click on the link up there at the top left, the Top Cow Chronology Project link, and you can take a look at the chronology, see what books are coming up next, gives you a chance to buy them and read them ahead of time, follow along with us. And of course, that chronology is courtesy of user Condor on the Comic Vine website. So once again, we want to thank him for his hard work. And also, while you're on our site, you can take a look and see what other projects we have going on. I have my YouTube channel, Manny has his blog, so I'm going to turn it over to Manny right now. He's going to tell you what book we're covering in this episode.
In this episode, we'll be covering The Darkness, Lodbrok's Hand from 2008. Writer is Philip Hester. Pencils and inks by Michael Oeming. Colors by Val Staples. And the lettering is done by Troy Petteri.
So what were your thoughts overall?
You know what? It was really entertaining. Just the cover alone really grabbed me. You know, big demon figure. The colors are really nice because it's like a snowy background. And obviously it's done in watercolor. And and then you know, you get this really bright orange and black figure right in the middle of the wizard. So I was hooked. And then when we opened the issue, you know, we get our first view of Lodbrok at the helm of his ship, you know, the moonlight right behind him, the crescent moon, I guess you'd want to call it. And one of the first things you notice, obviously, is that he's missing a hand. And so I really enjoyed this issue of Darkness.
Yeah, it was a pleasant surprise for me as well. You know, I don't know that much about Darkness, even less than I knew about Witchblade before we started reading, and I purposely haven't gone and tried to learn anything about Darkness. I just figure we'll get to it as we go along. So I had absolutely no idea what to expect. And then I open up before I even open up the issue, you know, like you said, the cover is just so striking. Just a beautiful cover, and then I noticed that it's Michael Avon Oeming, who I know from Powers, the series written by Brian Michael Bendis that's about to have a season start on the PlayStation Network. And that art is so much different than this art. I mean, that's much more, you know, crime noir, dark colors, and more down to earth, not a lot of fantasy, superheroic kind of stuff. So to see that it was him on this, and then to go through and read it and be caught up in the story, yeah, just really, really, really good. And one thing I do want to mention is that The Darkness, Lodbrok's Hand, as Manny said, it was put out in 2008, and it's actually contained in trade paperback form. It's in The Darkness, Accursed, Volume 3, and that's available on Comixology. That whole trade paperback is available on Comixology for $5.99, or you can get it at InStockTrades.com for $7.43 plus shipping. Okay. Now let's jump into the issue. As Manny said, it starts off with Lodbrok on the prow of his ship, and I kind of take it that he's some sort of Viking. Apparently, there are a couple new recruits that are kind of wondering why he's always standing up there. Does he ever sleep? We've never seen him sleep. And one of the elder deckhands there says that he's been in service of Lodbrok for 20 years, and he's never seen Lodbrok sleep. And he launches into this epic tale about the history of Lodbrok. And I thought, telling the story this way, this old grizzled warrior sea dog here telling the story of Lodbrok, it gave it a very Celtic feel, kind of like he's telling this legend. You know, the way they used to record history back in the day was verbally. And so it gave it a real kind of a throwback feel. And I really liked it. So apparently what had happened was Lodbrok's brothers and a lot of the fathers and sons from the village, the older males, were enslaved by a mad king known as Grimoire. And the younger kids decided they weren't going to stand for this, and they went to find a forbidden horn. So Lodbrok, with the help of some of these other children and his sister, who is a little bit older than him and has some magical powers, set out in search for this forbidden horn. They managed to find it. It's this giant Dr. Seuss-looking horn that Lodbrok blows. And before he blows it, his sister warns to reconsider his plan, because she walks in the witching world, and the power that Lodbrok is seeking to call could be more dangerous than the Mad King Grimoire himself. But Lodbrok is determined in his plan. He blows the horn, and he summons a great Viking ship, which is captained by someone known as the Black Captain. And he's a very striking figure, kind of in this armor, a lot of darkness. And I'm assuming he is the wielder of the darkness in the story. And he agrees. He says he knows about Mad King Grimoire, and he agrees to that he'll help these children. But of course, he's going to ask a cost. His fee is, at the completion of the task, he will take the bravest. He says, at the completion of my task, I will take the bravest among you as my shipmate to sail with me under the stars until the last of the stars have fallen from the sky. So they agree, and they get on this boat, and they head off to the King Grimoire's castle. And there's a passage here as they're on the boat, just as they're starting out, that I want to read for you. And it just gives you an idea of kind of the scale and the setting, and the way that Philip Hester manages to set the mood as this story as kind of an old Viking ancient tale of yore. It says, "The oarsmen, whose bodies resembled nothing so much as a twisted heap of bruise-colored scars, glared at the passengers for a brief moment before silently returning to their toil." And it's that kind of prose and that kind of exposition that Hester fills the story with that really helps set the mood, and you get a real feel that it's an ancient tale. And it's an excellent job by Hester. So they get to the castle, and apparently one of the weaknesses that the Black Captain has is that he can't be out in the daylight. But even though they've taken refuge in a sea cave extremely close to the castle, the Black Captain says he's going to wait until nightfall. But these young kids, being impetuous and impatient, decide that they're going to go scout out. They figure it can only help the Black Captain's plan if they can get some info. So they go to scout out what's going on, and come to find out it's a holiday, a day of feasting and song, a day of sacrifice. And the Mad King is sacrificing all his slaves that he had used to build this vainglorious monument to himself. And at the head of the line is Lodbrok's brother. So his sister, Freydis, who has the magical powers, leaps into battle. She's not going to stand there and watch him die. So even though the Black Captain is not there to back them up, she leaps into battle. And she seems to hold her own for a little while, but then the overwhelming numbers of Grimoire's army basically overwhelm her. And she had been casting a spell on the rest of her party to keep them hidden from Grimoire's army. Well, once she falls, that spell drops away. The army sees Lodbrok and the rest of the child soldiers, and the battle is joined outright. So just as Lodbrok and his pals are about to be completely overwhelmed, the sun sets, and the Black Captain and his army come onto the field and pretty much kick the crap out of Grimoire's army. And the Mad King summons a dragon, a red dragon, to fight for him. And the Black Captain, of course, summons a black dragon to counteract that. And meanwhile, Lodbrok manages to fight his way to the fallen body of his sister. And once he's next to her, they say the light kind of faded out of her eyes and leapt into Lodbrok's. And at that point, he basically becomes a killing machine. All his cowardice drops away. They say he's not even human anymore. No, he can't hear reason. He's beyond emotion. He has become nothing more or less than the movement of his limbs and the flashing of his blades. So another passage that I really like. So he manages to free his brother, kills the king, but he doesn't really seem to be consoled. So he approaches the Black Captain. He says, "Let's be done with it. I'm ready to pay your price." And the Black Captain says, "I said I wanted the bravest among you, and there she lies." And he has his oarsmen and his army pick her up, and they bound Freydis' wounds and take her as payment. And then Lodbrok says that, "You'll never take her, I'll hunt you forever." To which the Black Captain replies, "I admire that child, I really do, and so I spare you a shred of honor." And he cuts off his sword hand and says, "Now no one can say you failed to give your full measure." So the Black Captain leaves with Freydis, and we learn why. Lodbrok now stands at the prow, day and night, hoping to spy the mysterious ship of the Black Captain. So, again, I thought it was a very, very entertaining story, and much more than I had bargained for, especially considering the first Darkness one-shot we read was so mediocre in my mind.
Yeah, it was kind of monotone, and really kind of preachy about war. This one told a really nice, complete story.
Yeah, and I just keep going back to the narrative of it. You know, it just, having this old warrior to, you know, tell this story, this legend, you know, like kind of like a tall tale almost.
Yeah, it reminded me a bit of 300.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, so did the image, the first image where they're coming out of the cave and they see the day of celebration and the day of sacrifice that they're celebrating. That also reminded me of 300. So
yeah, also it reminds me a little bit of The 13th Warrior, if you've ever seen that movie with Antonio Banderas, based on a Michael Crichton book.
No, I haven't seen that.
It's also with Vikings and bloody and an epic battle, a small band of warriors fighting against overwhelming odds. So pleasantly surprised by Michael Avon Omi's art, as I said, because the only art I've seen him do, as I said before, was Powers, the Powers series, which is just a complete 180-degree change from this. So art was well done. Colors helped set the mood tremendously well, and just a great, great story.
Yeah, the art reminded me a little bit of what they're doing now in Rise of the Magi.
Yeah, I could see that.
And so I enjoyed the art as well. The only thing I, you know, kind of raised my eyebrow a little bit is that Lodbrok's sister dies, right?
Well, it said she wasn't dead. She wasn't dead upon the battlefield.
Well, he thought she was dead.
Yeah, I kind of took that to me. I mean, I think that's what you're meant to think, and even Lodbrok thought that she was dead. It says the light went out of her eyes, but I think she probably just, like, passed out, blood loss or something.
Yeah, I mean, I would have thought that with him taking her as payment, you know, oh, at least my sister gets to be alive.
Oh, you thought he was kind of like raising her, making her undead or some kind of...
Yeah, or, you know, or something, and he would have maybe been a little bit more appreciative. Yeah.
Because... when he first said he was going to take her, I kind of thought that too. Okay, well, maybe. But then the Black King comes out and says, and Lodbrok says, "No, not her." And then the Black King responds, "She yet lives and under my care will soon recover."
So she was dying then.
Yeah, she probably, I mean, if she would have bled out, if they would have left her laying there. So, I mean, it makes you wonder, and she was a pretty good warrior in her own right.
By far, she was the bravest. I mean, she took it upon herself to...
Yeah, well, the reason I mention it is because you wonder if she was that brave and that great of a warrior, how she seems like she would have been fighting to be free from him, too. Unless she took it as a point of honor, okay, I know this is the payment I have to make. I saved, you know, my people. Although I don't know how many of them she saved. A lot of them were already...
Yeah, a lot of them were dead.
So, but I mean, that's something minor, you know, I don't want to nitpick. I do want to say also that the layouts are done really well. There's a lot of times where the background from one panel serve as the border to the next panel.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really, I mean, just, yeah, beautifully done, beautifully rendered. Great job by Michael Avon Oeming.
Yeah, there's that image of Lodbrok walking towards his sister's body, and you have the dragons fighting in the background. In the background, you have soldiers and goblins. I mean, there's just so much going on, and you know, just his shadow figured body walking towards her body. I thought that was really good. There's just a really good mixture of colors and shadows and oranges. I mean, you can tell there's a lot going on.
Yeah. Really, really, really good story. Highly recommended. All right, that's going to do it. I want to thank everybody once again for joining us. You can like us on Facebook. Just do a search for The Comic Source. And a lot of times, Manny and I go to conventions. We'll post pictures on there. And you can just get some heads up of what we have coming up. You can also follow us on Twitter. That's twitter.com/thecomicsource. Or drop us an email, thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com. And of course, like I mentioned earlier, we have our website, thecomicsourceblog.com. You can go there for episodes. You can watch my YouTube show there or check out Manny's blog. So check it out and join us next time when we'll be covering The Darkness number 39.